Get me powered back on. It's about that time to start. So good to see everyone this morning. And I trust we'll have a few more straggle in here as they finish up things out there. But let's open up with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Our Father, we come to Thee. We thank You for this opportunity that's ours to gather together in Thy house with Thy people. We thank You that we can open up Your Word and learn the truths that You have, Father, for us as believers to strengthen our walk with You, to find ourselves in Your presence, Father, even in this day and age. We thank You that You are here, and Father, You watch over us, You care for us, and help us, Father, as we look into Your Word, as we take time to answer these questions. Father, we seek You, and we seek to bring honor and glory to You and You alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope we didn't scare Austin off this week. I may have to give him a phone call or something here. He talked about not coming, and I said, well, we've got questions. But anyway, but it's good to see everyone else. Hopefully they are coming. Just a little bit later, as I mentioned, had a couple questions in the box and thought I'd take some time this morning in the Sunday School Hour to answer those. And as I do, I want to bear in mind, since you don't have to put your name on them. Oh, yep, Austin's coming. There comes a little one. So come on in. There he is. There he is. Yeah. Well, after last week's conversations, I was getting a little concerned there. When but then I saw the little family member run by, so I thought, okay, we're in luck. They're coming. But as I mentioned, we're looking at these questions. And as I say, you don't have to put your name on there. That's not a prerequisite. And so as I look at these questions, I will answer it from kind of a couple perspectives that maybe you didn't consider. So please don't think if I answer it one way that that's what I thought you were asking. It's just as I look at the question, I'm trying to cover all the bases, so to speak. But one of the questions was, who is your pastor? Which is a good question. I mean, we're all God's children. We're His flock, and I am part of that flock. I'm one of those sheep. I happen to be the pastor, too, but I, too, am part of that flock, so I appreciate the question. And they go on, ask us kind of follow-up question, or who do you listen to regarding Bible direction and why? And so I appreciate that, but who is my pastor? Specifically, I don't have someone who pastors me. I do have men that I look to, but I do not have a pastor that I would say he's pastoring me. If you will, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 to help, in one sense, kind of understand this. I mean, I'm not by myself. I'm not a dictator, and I trust we've understood that over the last 2 years. This is not a dictator-led church. This is a congregational-led church. The church makes those decisions. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter, speaking to those that he has written to, he's addressing the elders, i.e. the pastors. Pastor, bishop, elder, referring to the same office, just using different terms to help understand what that person is. But he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So at this point in time, Peter is pastoring a group of people somewhere. We don't know exactly where, but somewhere. But he's addressing the elders in that audience that he's writing to. And he says, I exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So he gives a little bit of his background. I was one of those that saw Christ. I saw his sufferings. I'm also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be reunited with him. And so he notes that. But he gives this exhortation. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. And so Peter touches, just to move a little bit, he touches on those three words that we speak of, pastor, elder, and bishop. Pastor speaks of feeding the flock. It speaks of being a shepherd. And he tells us to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. The underlying Greek word is where we get bishop from. It's in that family where we get our word bishop from. And he's also spoken of the elder at the beginning. So we have these words that we use to describe this office. But he says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And so we have some exhortation for me. I take this personally, because while I'm not specifically in Peter's venue, I wasn't there when Peter wrote this, it's still written to pastors. And so these are things that I seek to abide by. I didn't take the oversight by constraint, but willingly. Most people know pastors are not in it for the money, at least not real, true pastors. Not to say that you're not taking care of me, you are. But, you know, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not looking for the next better pasture that's going to give me a better paycheck. It's not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. And I trust that I am. I'm not here to lord over you. I'm not a dictator. But I'm getting to this last part here. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. You see, I have a chief shepherd that I answer to. And I trust that any pastor worth his salt understands that. I'm not here to do my own thing. I have somebody that I answer to, the chief shepherd, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God also reminds us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Again, I want to get to the back half of this verse. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account. And so again, the writer of Hebrews is writing to the congregation. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? Because they watch, that is me, I watch over your souls as they must give account. I have to give an account of what I'm doing as pastor here, as I watch over you, as I seek to edify you, as I seek to see you draw closer in Christ's likeness, so that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So one thing you can do for your pastor, make his life easy. Be here. Follow the word of God, because I will give an account for how I have pastored you. And I take that seriously. I take it humbly. That is a very humbling thought to realize I will stand before God and have to talk to him about how I've pastored the churches that I've pastored. And I don't take that lightly. I take that very seriously. Because we do give an account, and you have been entrusted in my care. And so I enjoy that, but I do understand that. And so, yes, I don't have a pastor that I seek to answer that second part, who do you listen to regarding Bible direction and why? I spend time reading the Word of God and praying concerning my work here as pastor. That's where God speaks to me. That's where God helps me to show the direction that he wants us to take as a church, as a pastor. knowing that our Lord desires more than I to see us as a church grow and move forward for Him. God's more concerned about this church than I am, and I'm concerned about our church. But I know God's concerned about it more because it's His church. Yes, it's my church. I'm the pastor here. But it's God's church. He said, I will build my church. He didn't say to Peter and the other apostles, you will build my church. He said, I will build my church. He builds it through us. We're all joint co-workers, if you will, in this. But I understand that and seek to follow Him and His desires to see us go forward. And so I don't, in that regard, I don't follow other men and their ministries. As I say, that may not be what you were referring to, but I will bring that up as it notes here. Do you listen regarding Bible direction and why? I don't look to other men's ministries and say, hey, I need to do that. excuse me. That I don't do. Do I know of other men's ministries? Sure, I do. I have lots of pastor friends in the ministry. But I don't look to them or some well-known pastor and say, hey, we need to be that. Well, we don't need to be that. That may work there for that ministry, and that's fine. But we need to seek God's leading here. We're different. We're not that church. We're not that pastor. So I'm not here to try to be like another pastor. I'm here to be myself. So I make that distinction. It doesn't mean that I don't look to those things, because there is wisdom in multitudes of counselors. And so with that regard here, I do have some older men in the ministry, some that are retired, and some contemporary pastors that I will speak to about issues that arise and that I believe I need to seek counsel on. Again, I'm not here isolating myself apart from any other source of information. I'm not, because I don't know everything. So I do seek counsel when I have things come up in my ministry or in my personal life that I need some help from. Yes, I search the Scriptures and rely on Him to do that, but I will talk to other men. I have some men, again, that I highly regard that have been of great help to me through the years. And I count them very dear, I don't look forward to when they pass. My group is getting smaller because those older men are just that. They're the older men that are passing away. I'm starting to become one of those older men. some of my stuff will be changing down the road, but I appreciate those that have been in the ministry, some as long as I've been alive, that can help me because they've been down this road. So they know, they have been of a great help. I mean, for some, and some of that response, as I've touched on a few times, if it weren't for some of their counsel, I wouldn't be standing here. Because I would have given up on the ministry and said, no, I'm out of here. Their counsel has been helpful and wise. And so I do look for that, and I appreciate that. So I trust that that helps answer that question. Number two, and a good question. If a longtime pastor is discredited in ministry, should you disregard his previous works, books, or sermons? Again, that's a good question. There have been men that have discredited themselves, men that we might have looked at and said, they're good men, they're authors, we get their books, we've been benefited from those. And I want us to understand, truth is truth, regardless of the character of the one who speaks it. Doesn't mean that we necessarily follow them, but what we hear, if that's the truth, that's the truth. And that is what we should be holding on to, not necessarily the following of men. We have a society, we have that kind of built into us. We like to follow somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't replace God with them. Because Paul tells us, follow me because I'm following Christ. Mimic my life. Imitate my life. See what I'm doing. And do those things that are right and true because I'm following, I'm mimicking Christ. So there is that aspect, but we don't, Paul didn't say replace Christ with me. He said we're all following Christ. We may be in a line here, but we're all ultimately looking for Christ. And so we have that thought that we need to follow. But, you know, does that put a scar on what has been taught? Yes, it has. We do not, I trust, anticipate our spiritual leaders, if you will, to fall. I mean, I know there are some out there that, yeah, that's what they just wait for. I'm looking for that man to fall so I can jump on his testimony, show him to be the hypocrite that he is. And that mindset is not biblical, number one. I get disturbed by that. My dad would talk about it when he was on the aircraft carrier, his first ship. There would be guys that would go up to the flight deck to watch the landings. Not because they loved aviation like I do. I would have loved to have been up there and watched them take off and land. They were hoping for an accident. There are some that go to NASCAR and other, you know, they're not looking for the race, they're hoping to see the gore of an accident. It's like, there's something wrong with this picture. But that mindset often comes over then into the biblical realm. Oh, you guys are a bunch of fuddy-duddies. You're goody-two-shoes. I know you'll fall, so I'm just waiting. And then they pounce. Yeah, see, I told you. No, we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all imperfect. Doesn't mean that we should anticipate. If nothing else, it should pray, God, keep us close to him. Keep us from falling. Because we do have temptations that are there. They're very real. And so I bring that up and bring this just to realize that if that man has taught the Word of God and he has taught it biblically, truthfully, those books are still valuable. Those sermons, whatever that's there, that's still the truth. As long, again, as it's biblical, that's always the preface. If it's biblical, if it's what God says, and he's explained it well, that's still valid. The man's discredited himself. Yes, he should step down from the ministry and be removed, but realize, you know, with that, we're not following men, we follow God. We follow the truth that's there. Because the truth is still the truth. Does he impact the testimony of it? Yes. And I trust we stop and realize we all do. We all speak the truth. And when we do stumble, we put a little black spot, if you will, on it. Because we've not, at that point, followed the truth. We have followed sin. We have followed an error. And we have stumbled and fell. And that impacts not only us, but everybody else. As we've touched on, how many of us have had a hard time trying to share Christ with someone who has seen a Christian do the wrong things and want nothing to do with Christianity because of what they saw in that person. And here we are doing the right thing, trying to be the right testimony, and they want nothing to do with us because of the other person. Does that mean that we give up? No. We still live for the truth. We still seek to give the truth. So He may have discredited himself from the ministry. Yes, it's going to be taking him a while. I mean, if depending on what he's done, he may not be able to get back into the ministry. But again, the truth that was there before is still the truth. And we can hold on to that. And it may not be something necessarily that we want to promote a lot because of what's happened. But understand, we don't need to discredit it just because he's discredited himself. The truth is always the truth. Last one. What do you think of the phrase, eat the meat and spit out the bones? In light of, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I appreciate that connection here because there is some connection. So, one, I make this statement. I must assume the first phrase is being used in relation to biblical teaching and being careful with bad or poor doctrine that may accompany the good. I mean, at least that's how I've taken that phrase that I've heard for years. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. I mean, when I was growing up, when Dad would go out and catch fish before I got old enough that I could fish with him and catch fish along with him, we typically caught panfish, bluegill, perch, and we didn't fillet them like Delbert does. He fillets his crappies. We didn't fillet them. We'd chop the head off, take the guts out, and scale them, and then we'd pan fry them. So the bones are in there. And what was the thing that my mom would always say when fish was on the table? Watch out for the bones. Be careful for the bones. And that was ingrained in me from first time I could hear somebody talk and eat fish, because that was said at every dinner table when we had fish. And I think I could say that pretty good in saying every dinner table when we had fish. I don't think she missed a beat on that while we were growing up, because she didn't want the bones to get stuck in your throat. Very bad. So that phrase is what I've seen it linked to, kind of that mind frame that, yes, there may be some good things in there, but be careful of the bad that's there. So pick the meat, eat the meat, spit out the bones. And yet, there is a connection with then a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. That phrase, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, is used twice in our scriptures. Eat the meat and pick out the bones is not a biblical phrase. You'll not find it in the scriptures. It's a man's phrase. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul has been addressing sin in the Corinthian church. Verses 1 and following speak of a man who is in open sin with a relationship with somebody else, and the church has said nothing. In actuality, they think it's okay. And he says, as he starts verse 6, your glorying is not good. They thought they were being open-minded about realizing, hey, we've been saved by grace, yes. And so this is a believer, and he's out here living in sin like this, and it's okay, we're all saved by grace, we're good. And he said, no, it's not. This is not good. And as he notes to them, this is something that even the lost have issues with. And here you are, you've allowed it to come into your church. And so he says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What is leaven? To give it a kind of a modern English word, what would we say? Yeast. That rising, that helps us make our rolls, dinner rolls, puff up. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you put a little bit into your flour, what's going to happen? It's going to work its way throughout that whole container of flour. And it's no longer going to be all-purpose flour. It's going to be self-rising. Now, I realize for self-rising, they don't use yeast. They're using baking soda and other things for the quick rise. But so please bear with me, ladies. I understand the difference between these two. But for illustration purposes, we've, in a sense, ruined the flour because of the leaven. And the Jews would understand this very well, because in the springtime, they would clean house. You didn't know that spring cleaning was a Jewish tradition that maybe you have taken over. The Jews would spring clean their houses to rid them of leaven in preparation for the Passover. Because the Passover bread was unleavened bread. They left in haste. They didn't have time to work the leavening as they left Egypt. And so leaven, the yeast, was removed out of the house. And so leaven has also pictured sin, which we see here. Your glorying is not good in this sin. Realize you let a little sin in, and it's going to permeate the whole. You're not going to be able to isolate it to just that couple. It's going to affect the whole congregation. And so here, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul is using it and referring to the infiltration of sin into the Corinthian church by their unwillingness to discipline this man, this couple. Sin will eventually infect the entire congregation to their own disgrace. And sadly, we see that today. And so we need to be mindful of that. A little leaveneth the whole lump. The second use, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Paul's going to use it in a different way now. He's going to use the same phrase, but he's going to use it in a different context. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Now, Paul to the Galatian churches, has been addressing the Judaizers who were out trying to spread the false idea that, yes, you can trust Christ as your Lord and Savior by grace through faith, but you also need to, in essence, be Jewish. You need to keep the law. And we addressed that when we went through the book of Acts as we got to chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council, because these men had reached Antioch and they came preaching this. Yes, salvation by grace through faith, plus following Moses, keeping the law of Moses. So you Gentiles, you males, you need to be circumcised. And you need to be keeping the law. Now you're complete in Christ. And Paul said, oh, no, 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 no. And so they come to Jerusalem to discuss this. And we find that, yes, the Gentiles didn't have to keep the law because they were reminded, we Jews can't keep the law. Christ fulfilled the law for us. Doesn't mean that we disregard it. I mean, we're still not to lie. We're still not to envy our fellow believers. We're still not to murder. That's still sin. But it's not part of our salvation by keeping it. Our salvation is through Christ alone. And so Paul has been addressing this, but this has infiltrated those Galatian churches as some were preaching this. And so this whole book has been condemning this. Remove that. That's not what you were taught when I came to your churches, which Paul started those churches. He was the church planter. They didn't hear this when he came. And so he brings this up. And so verses 7 through 9, as he's kind of wrapping up this epistle to them, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He notes to them, you were doing the right thing. You were going the right way. But now you've allowed someone to kind of step in and slow you down, divert you, put a stumbling block in your path. You were going well. It says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This Judaizing belief system, that's not from the one who called you. That's not from the Lord Jesus Christ. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so here he's using that phrase in the context of false doctrine, false teachings. Don't let them come in. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You allow this error to come in, to infiltrate. It's going to permeate everything. And so he is warning them, don't allow this. Keep it out. Stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the teachings that you had. Amen. And go forward with it. And don't allow the error to come in. And so, to me, this text goes a little bit closer to what that first phrase speaks of. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. We need to be careful. As we know, Paul has been addressing the Judaizers, the doctrine of law-keeping. He's indicting the Galatian churches because they had started out right, ran right, but then allowed these Judaizers to cause them to break their true biblical stride and be influenced and affected by the false teachings of these Judaizers. Their false teaching would eventually permeate the whole. And then they would allow other errors to creep in. And sadly, we've seen that in the history of the church. And so as I note, while I have heard the phrase and may have used it in certain situations, I don't really care for the eat the meat, cause the bones, because the bones can cause quite the problem if we're not careful. We must be discerning. We cannot read anyone without taking time to examine their teachings in the light of the Word of God. And that goes for me, folks. I want us to have our Bibles here. They need to be in our laps. My wife will get after me at times. I know I don't always allow you time to get to the passage that I may be reading. But I trust you can at least write it down, because there are times when, yes, I want you to go there. Other times I'm just giving you a verse in the context of the message. But we examine everything by the light of this book. Whatever the Bible says is so. As we've noted, you know, our Baptist distinctives, the biblical distinctives, begins with the Bible is our sole source for faith and practice. This is what we go to. This is what we strive to take our truths from, our biblical teachings from. And so we do need to be discerning. And we may very well come across books that we read, men that we listen to, that, yes, we may come across a bone. But again, I trust that we are discerning because we've spent time in this book to understand what's there. Because they can cause problems. We must be discerning. We cannot read anyone without taking time to examine their teaching in the light of the Word of God. Depending on the situation, there may be times when we read material, mindful that there will be bones which must be removed while we eat the good meat. Yes, mindful that we mustn't let a little leaven to influence the good. And so it's not a hard one to understand, to take, but there may be times when we do read a book, for me as a pastor, I don't buy every new book that comes out. My wife would get after me too much. But I do pick up books that, yes, I have to do this too. There's some good things in it, and then I see some things that, oh, that's not so good. And so I myself personally try to limit that so that I don't have the wrong influence on my ministry and on you. And so I do try to be careful with what then I offer to you, that it is going to be something that's going to help us and not something that, oh, there's some things you need to be aware of. Now, there may be times when I may do that. But I will tell you ahead of time, this is a good book for this. However, there are some things in there, and I would try to let you know, these are the things to be watchful for as you read the good parts. But I really don't like to do that because of those bones, because of the leaven. Because the scriptures do tell us a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We run the risk of allowing that error to come in because we look and say, hey, well, that man is a good man, and he may well be. But he has this error, and so it must be okay because it must be okay because the scriptures say it's okay. Not because a man says it okay. So, you know, I don't struggle with this, but I do have a hard time with trying to bring that out and understand, because we are going to have folks that are going to have some degrees of variableness, but we need to be watchful of it, mindful of it. And again, that's where our understanding and being versed in the truth of God's word will help us. Because not everybody out there is going to agree with everything that I say. And I'm kind of narrowing this down. They may not be in error. We may have some differing beliefs on some things that aren't necessarily, you know, wrong doctrine, heresy, false doctrine. But those differences I will try to bring up to you and let you know that, yes, this person's good in this regard, but he's not quite on the same page with us in this area. We have a differing view. And so I always try to help us with that. And so depending on the situation, again, we may read these things, but being discerning with, yes, we may have these things pop up, so we need to be careful. I would say there is some connection between the meat and bones and our second look at leaven and leavening the lump because of the false doctrine that we see in Galatia that had entered. And Paul was trying to get them to eliminate that. You do not go back into Judaism. Law keeping, being a Jew, is not part of salvation. Christ did everything for you. Amen. Yes, the Jews felt that way because they were God's chosen people. That's how the world got the word of God. That's how they got the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a Jew, and you know, so we're really something, and you need to be one of us, along with trusting Christ, because that's how it worked. No, yes, that's how it worked. Christ came through the Jews, but he offered that salvation by grace through faith alone in him. He fulfilled the law for you because you couldn't. And so he makes that distinction and tries to get them to be aware of it and move them back to the teaching that they had when he came. And so he opens up the book of Galatians with that understanding. He that's following another gospel, another of a different kind, so let those be accursed. They're wrong. That's a strong statement. But Paul was noting that teaching is wrong. It is Christ alone. And so we need to be careful with that, yes. and watchful of it. But that comes down to us being careful in what we read, being well-taught, well-versed in God's Word, so that we will know the leaven, the bones, when we come across them. We can say, hey, that doesn't quite, you know, we may not remember the passage, but we may, you know, the passage is there and it may trigger us. You know, I'm not so sure about that. Let me go take time to go back and look. And so I encourage us to do that as we get to know the Word of God, as we get grounded in the Word of God. We can come across the errors that we may unknowingly come across. And as I say, as pastor, I will always try to give you that heads up ahead of time if we're looking at something that requires that caveat, that disclaimer. Be mindful of this as we look through this. So I trust that that helps in answering those questions. I appreciate them. It gave me some time to think this through and get my thoughts down. But again, good questions. And so as I've said before, hadn't mentioned it in a while, the box is back there on the table, and there is a slip of paper in front of it that you can fill out. Whether you want me to answer it here, you may have a question that you want answered privately, that's fine too. We can sit down, talk about those things, but that's there for you. Again, it's not that I have all the answers, because I am the first to admit, nope, I don't have all the answers. But I know God's Word may well have the answers, and I know God does have the answers. And with Him, we can find the answers, I trust, to the questions that we have come up in our lives. So, we postpone the inevitable, Austin. quick 45 minutes, as I say, that's the fastest 45 minutes in the week. We got 2 minutes left, but again, I trust that that has answered those questions for that person who wrote them. They were on two separate pages, but I could tell the handwriting was the same, but I trust that it answered them. As long as they're here, I'm hoping that they are, so that they've heard their answers. If not, they can, I think, listen to it. I think we've recorded it, and they can pick it up there. But again, I appreciate those. We do try to take time to answer them, and I trust that that has. And so we'll close in prayer, and we'll get to James 3, Lord willing, next week, and get into that passage. Father, we thank you for the time that we have with the questions that have been posed, your words that bear testimony to how to answer, and what we look to. Father, we thank you that we have your Word. And truly it is our guidebook. It is our source of truth, your truth, which directs us, which leads us, which guides us, warns us, corrects us. As Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the teaching, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. And Father, we have it, and that's what you use to grow us in Christ's likeness. Help us to be men and women of this book, to read it for ourselves, to study it, to hear it preached, to have it change our lives, because you are seeking to mold us believers into the image of Christ. You're preparing us for heaven when we will be in your presence, complete, perfect in all aspects. And Father, we look forward to that day. And in the meantime, you've given us the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who will guide us into all truth. We thank you that you didn't leave us here as orphans. The Holy Spirit resides, the author of this book, and he can help us understand so that we can live, we can learn, and we truly can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.